What up, though, man? Welcome to another episode of the CP Podcast, man. I'm your host, CP. It's the CP Podcast, man. A podcast where we're talking about the shit CP want to talk about, man. If you don't want to talk about that shit, you know where the fuck you can go. Now, in the building with me, as always, is my dog, Amir, man.
Yeah.
In the building, back in all black. You feel me? All right, bro. How's your week, man?
Pretty good. I can't complain. Same old, you know?
Mm-hmm. Facts. Same shit. Same here. Having a week, you feel me? Let me know what y'all thought about that that show last week. If y'all listened to it on Sirius Satellite Radio, the hot mic shit. Shit was dope, man. It's a good look. Shout out to Kevin Hart. Shout out to LOL Radio. Shout out to Sirius XM, man. It's gonna be a beautiful thing. It's gonna be a beautiful thing, man. We got a lot of shit going on. Also, man, shout out to my dogs over at Detroit versus Everybody. I got a little package, man.
So they're the originators of that shit.
They
right?
are, yeah. They're absolute originators, bro.
Yeah.
And they actually have a thing where you can make your own versus Everybody. Like they got their shit set up, but they own versus Everybody. So they, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, because I was saying Detroit versus Everybody was definitely one I saw first.
Yeah. So, yep, shout out to my guy Tommy Walker, man. That's my brother, actually. And my brother Sean, man. But they just got the little pin right here. That's dope. I throw that on a hat or something. And then, but they just did the merch for the new Beverly Hills Cop movie.
Oh, shit.
So, like, this is actually, you can see the.
That's hard.
Everybody Love Axel F, which is Axel Foley. And then they got the little Netflix.
Oh, yeah.
On the thing. So that's hard, bro. Shout out to these guys, man. They really cooking, man. You know, we was all young bucks, man, coming up with our ideas for how we was going to start our own legacies, man. That's why, you know, real shit, your friend group, man, is so important, especially in your developmental years. I think that, like, because as I got older, I stopped having the opportunity to be around my friends as much, right? I got a family. I have a career now. You know what I'm saying? Like, I'm kind of, like, into that. So, like, time passes fast in that regard. But at the same time, time is, like, when you get with your best friends, man, y'all ain't seen each other in a long time. You then pick right back up where you left off.
Yeah.
Talk about the same shit, the memory. Remember so-and-so. And of course, y'all building on the future and talk about ideas and how y'all can collab, obviously. But it's something to, just like having a friend base that everybody is driven, not just in the same way, but everybody is driven. Nobody is really dwelling in the loss, right? And so, like, what I mean by that is, like, you know, I have some friend groups where, you know, they dwell in the lostness, like, man, niggas don't know what to do. And all they think about is that they don't know what to do. And then all, you know what I'm saying? And so if you don't have the kind of friends that push you to execute your ideas and get their ideas executed and et cetera, then you can't even help those other friends who may not have that mindset yet. Because it's always a yet. You just might not have it right now, but you're going to have it. I appreciate my brothers, man, because we were just young whippersnappers, man, trying to, you know, whether it was me doing the comedy or, you know, us doing sketches and, you know, making t-shirts and doing whatever we could, bro, just to hustle. So to see my brothers going crazy, you know, that shit, it really means a lot to me, man. And, you know, they say the same thing to me all the time about me going crazy, you know what I'm saying? So I wasn't crying, I was a burp, but you know what I'm saying? You know, so that's dope, man. I really fuck with that, man. I'm behind everything they do. So that's dope. They sent me that. I want to make sure I shared that with y'all, man. Go to DBE.com, get you some Detroit versus Everybody, or your city versus Everybody, your college, or whatever. You know what I'm saying? Your last name, your family reunion. Y'all can make some dope ass shirts. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, that would be hard.
Mm-hmm. Anyway, man. So last week we talked about AI. How that shit is inevitably going to change the world. And everybody knows that. What other way could we go? It's like, I was thinking about it last week. I'm like, man, you know what's crazy is that, like, AI has always been what it was going to be. We just had to get to the point where we could develop it. Like, AI has always been where we were headed. Like, you look at, like, the Jetsons. You look at, like, everything had that eagle eye. Everything had that personal OIO or operating OS that was kind of, like, more than a machine but less than a person. Mm-hmm. Like, it's always been that through line in every sci-fi movie, or most of them. You know what I'm saying? It's always been that kind of, like, there's going to be a machine, Knight Rider, shit like that. There's going to be where machines can talk to us. And you know what I'm saying? Like, you know, it's going to be that. So it's like, I feel like that's always been where we were headed. And if you look back, either they were telling us what was coming, or we're developing stuff based on what we were trying to imagine back then.
I think it, like, in the movies, it's like, idealistic. If you can already sense, like, the some of the things that we have, okay, what's a better advanced version that we could think of, like, that could be foreseeable in, you know, the Jetsons. They're based in, I don't even know what year is the Jetsons based in
exactly. I think like 2015, number one. Number two, it was,
I know, Back to the Future was for sure.
Oh yeah, that was 2015.
Back to the Future was 20, so we could use that as an example, like Back to the Future 2015. Like, you know, they're thinking, like, in the year 2000, he's going to have flying cars and stuff. Like, it's just the based on what we can imagine. So I'm thinking of, as we've advanced so far and we've got to a certain point, I feel like, you know, we've plateaued a bit. We'll increase a bit, but plateaued as far as, like, innovations and crazy kind of things like that, as far as, like, the overall general landscape, especially over the past 20 years. Right. If you go back 20 years ago, it's like, yeah, flip phones, sidekicks, this and that, two ways, you know, that kind of shit. But if you go back 10 years ago, it's like, we still had iPhones, we had iPads, we had Mac, we had PS4. You know what I'm saying? That was 10 years ago. If you did 10 years ago from 2013 to 2003, then there's an even bigger discrepancy, right?
Yeah,
so CDs. I feel like the discrepancy is getting even smaller every time we leap another 10 years.
So here's the thing. Is it that we don't have the technology or we don't have the infrastructure? Right? Because we don't even have nowhere for flying cars to go. We had nowhere for them to land. It's not set up for them to have gas stations in the sky.
It's not safe. But it just seems like it could have been a good idea.
But that's my point, though. It's like, it ain't that we don't have it. It's almost that right now we kind of don't need it. The second that we need it, I guarantee you they have it already.
They can. I'm sure it's I'm not saying it's impossible. I'm just saying that some of the things are not like back then, it's idealistic to think of that, and then shit changes and be like, you know what? Like, you know, it's like growing up. As a kid, it'll be like, I want to, like, these things seem cool, and you grow up and be like, you know what? Realistically, dog, no. Right.
Realistically, we don't need a giraffe because we only live on the first floor of this apartment building, and that wouldn't work. But what I'm saying is this, like, right, but that's why people have to change that conversation up specifically about flying cars. Like, that's all they say. Have you ever noticed that? Man, we thought we had flying cars by now, man. We thought, how dumb were we? Nigga, we wasn't dumb. And we absolutely do have flying cars right now. It's just that, what the fuck we gonna do with that right now?
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
And I feel like it's for one, it's probably very, like, planes are already very fucking expensive. So then trying to put that, and the thing is, I think that's really what it is taking something that does something similar in that vein and then making it smaller, but also trying to keep it cheaper. That's why certain things just haven't come about, or it took so long for certain things to happen. Mm-hmm. Like for me, the handheld PC market, whatever the fuck. Like, of course there were ones before, but they're fucking huge. So in order to get that kind of stuff to come down on the scale that the performance matters, that people actually want it, it takes a while for that tech to scale down from where it was when it was bigger. The same thing with computers. Like, if you go, the thing is, like, man, you don't buy a gaming laptop, you buy a gaming PC, because gaming PCs give you better performance at the price that they are, because laptops need smaller components and they need a screen and they need a keyboard. Like, all those things have to come together.
And they'll have to work together.
Yeah.
Right, yeah.
And it's just like, it takes a while for certain things to scale in that way. And also, it has to be a thing of, like, is that where we want to, you know, focus our infrastructure?
So let me ask you a question. it takes a while for things to scale that way. That I disagree with. I think that they have the technology to scale anything down. I think that what the real issue is that, like, most of these components, just like last week when we talked about the prison system, it's like somebody's pockets is going to get affected if your car can fly and you don't need me, Delta, to fly. You understand what I'm saying? Like, if you got to fly, if you can fly in your car, people will stop wanting to fly. Like, what's the point of how much is a private jet for real going to be if you could fly your Mercedes somewhere? You understand what I'm saying? Like, people at the top who are in the flex are not ready for that to not be the flex anymore. And that matters. Like, you know what I'm saying?
But the thing is, like, okay, private jets are the flex, right?
Mm-hmm.
But before then, what was the flex? Like, having a nice car. Okay, then, well, before then, what was having the flex? Like, having horses. What was the flex before then? Like, I got
slaves.
So right. It's like, it always changes. And it doesn't, and if it is going to change, then that, if they already have money, why wouldn't they already be able to buy into that?
Because, that's exactly, Amir, that's the question.
And I'm just saying
that's
in general.
No, right. But that's the question, though. Y'all already have money. Y'all have made billions off of the oil industry.
Mm-hmm.
Why can't we go full electric now? Y'all have made billions off of, you know what I'm saying? Like, like power and energy. Why can't we go solar now? Why can't we go turbine now? Why can't we go dam now? Like, what the fuck is going on? Like, what it is they're never, it's never enough money for them. Like, this country, specifically America, is so rooted in greed that everything that is good enough right now is just going to be good enough. And that's just like, dog, you go to Japan. And it's like, yeah, you know, they got the same buses we got. But then our buses is they buses 20 years ago.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Our public transport is theirs from 20 years ago. And so it's like.
Because in what we live in is not about necessarily making the things better. It's about keeping the same shit working mm-hmm. until it literally falls upon itself.
Right.
And now it's time to get. It's not about being proactive. It's about being reactive. Essentially, that's what it is. If something were to fall apart or something were to need to change, well, now we're on the reactive side instead of being on the proactive side mm-hmm. of things, which is why it's specifically with electric vehicle shit. That's why China came and started beating our ass because we had the upper hand. And then they invested fully into making the systems that have that. And then they got the best battery tech now. And now they put their thing up and then they're like, whatever America's doing, we ain't worried about that shit. And America's like, well, whatever y'all doing, they started making these nice-ass cars because it was expensive. Mm-hmm. They started making these cars. They started making them cheap.
Mm-hmm.
And America saw that. And I'm talking, like, just this year, bro.
Yeah.
I saw those cars. I was like, dog, I'll buy one of them hoes because they're not expensive. It's like $20,000. And it's like a luxury car.
Yeah, it's super luxury.
Super luxury. Yeah. And it was like, yeah. And then America was like 100% tariff tax on that shit and vetoing. You can't have that shit over here. Yes.
Really?
100% I'm not lying to you
right
now.
That's the point, though, right? Because what happens is Americans got to wake up.
But that's historically how America's always been.
Right, but the future was fucking 20 years ago, and we have not yet been able to experience it. Like, we didn't get let in on that. The future was 20 years ago, and
we've been bullying people into what it was.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So, like, we are the niggas. We're the bullies, and the nerds is in there having all the fun developing new toys and shit, and we just not even...
Yeah, we're looking at them like enemies.
Yeah, and it's like, bruh, the United States is like a McDonald's. And what I mean by that is that McDonald's is so rich, they have so much influence, you know, they got toys. You know what I'm saying? Like they're gonna always put the company first before the consumer. So what happens is like we don't care that we're cooking in 15-day-old grease, and that's being generous. We don't care that we're not using real meat. We don't care that y'all eating missing children McNuggets. You know what I'm saying? Like we don't care about that because McDonald's. Is the thing. It's not the McDonald's consumer. It's McDonald's.
Yeah.
They don't have, ain't no name for, think about this. If you're from America, you're an American. It's not even no name for McDonald's consumers. It's just McDonald's got more nicknames than the motherfuckers who shop there. It's Mickey D's and the Golden Arches. You know, ain't no like, you know what I'm saying? Ain't no sea peeps over there.
Yeah. That's how it's set up. Yeah, this whole country set up fuck. In the way where the corporation, bro, there's so many like ways for companies to like bypass like shit or whatever. Like, I think they were trying to sue Amazon for their labor issues. And they were saying about like, all right, it's going to charge you this amount of money per person, basically. And then the number came out to be like a couple million.
Hold on. Okay. I said missing children and McNuggets, right?
Yeah.
Dejanay laughed. She put MC Nuggets. But it's already an MC in front of them Nuggets.
Yeah.
Those could already just mean missing children Nuggets.
Nah.
All right. Anyway. yeah, man. I don't know, a couple years ago, they tried to make me believe that a big-ass bubblegum glob of meat that they would then cut the nuggets out of is what the nuggets was. Eric D. Some fire, baby. Fire. All right, no, but it's just very, very interesting that that America is like, dog.
It's corporations first.
Yeah, but we're losing, though. We're losing in a lot of different areas. I want to do the CP podcast from another country. Like, I want to go, like, to Japan. Be like, we live in Japan right now. You know what I'm saying? We got fucking Pokemon cards. We got, you know what I'm saying? I don't know what the fuck we're going to see, but, like.
I mean, like, every country has some kind of way where they make their profit.
Yeah.
I just think that the way it's divided amongst the whole society is better in other places. Mm-hmm. And I think it's always been that way, but the way America will teach you or hide that part of the history or make it seem like there's these people who are so evil or anything like that, it'll make you believe that it ain't been that and we're trying to protect you from what it is out there. Like, you can't see this kind of thing. And that's just generally how it's been. The internet kind of helped us in a way open our eyes to other shit because we could see what other people got going on in their country. Just shouldn't be like, what the fuck?
And that's my point too, though. Like, the fact that we can see and they can't stop us from seeing is gonna, it's like, that's pressure that's never been before felt. Remember, like Eric D just said, CP podcast live from Africa. 35 years ago, somebody would have laughed like, Africa? Ain't no, where you gonna plug shit up at?
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Because of what they showed us. Meanwhile, you go to Africa and it looks better in a lot of places than here.
Mm-hmm.
More affordable. You know, and so I think that
it's also from, you know, I always look at the things like if it's something that we want to go to because it's more affordable and it's like the margin is so high in comparison to where we are now, is because if you go there, if you're coming from America, you've already experienced taking your money and then going somewhere else where those people aren't living in that regard. You're going there and being basically the luxury person that you hate here in America if you go somewhere else and necessarily. And the thing is,
sometimes.
Yeah, but the thing is, it's fucked up because that's how America is. It wants to force you to go somewhere else where you can make your money and then be almost turned into the bad guy that you started to hate, because now you have more money to flex the way you need to live, because making ends meet almost turns you into like this damn capitalist, essentially. So if you go somewhere else, now you got the capital to flex and spend. And now to everybody that's living there, you're the person that you would have hated back home.
I mean, well,
it's like a cycle.
It depends on how you want to look at it, right? I mean, I would imagine being a person who has been oppressed and being a person who has had less, you would then be, when put in that position, inclined to have a lot more empathy and a lot more, you know what I'm saying? Like,
yeah,
you know, you might be a different kind of rich person. You might be, you know, the kind of rich person that, you know, gives back to the community. Like I see like Khalees over there looking thick as hell, running, walking through them damn gardens and shit. It's like, I don't know what the fuck she doing, but it looks Khaleesi. You know what I'm saying? Like,
yeah.
And, you know, it's like,
it takes a different kind of person to do that kind of stuff. And I'm not saying it wouldn't be. I just think the, like, the level of it is a little different. Like here in America, you can't, you want to be empathetic, but there's so much shit. And then you trying to fight for your own. It's like nobody else gives a fuck about you. So it kind of makes you harden. And then you can't focus on all the other issues that's going on. Cause it's like, damn, I got to survive. Mm-hmm. Like that's really what it is. Like you just got to stay. I got to stay alive. Like I got to do what I got to do by any means.
Well, because, you know, unfortunately you understand that this country don't show no love to anybody who don't have.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like, you know, I'm even guilty, man. Like, it's like, man, don't let my fucking rent be late. And here comes somebody with a homeless sign. I'm like, you don't get the fuck away from me with this. You know what I'm saying? Like, nigga, I don't want to hear nothing. But, you know, it's just like, it's one of those things, man, where it's like, you hate to be the way that you have to be.
You have a choice.
You have no choice. It's like, all right, well, if I don't get mine, then somebody else is going to get it. And then who to say that they're going to do the right thing with it? Then I'm just never going to have nothing because then nobody going to, I gotta go jump in the race. And
I think that's one of the things, you know, growing up, I'm sure you heard this too. If you want to change the system, you got to change it from the inside.
You got to get in it and change it up.
And then you see people who have that mentality go into the system.
And then they
never come out the exact same.
That's really what they say. All of us are on this world to change it. And we all, as spirits or angels or whatever you want to call it, have very, very benevolent intentions about, I can go there, I could be a great person, I could change it. I'm not going to let the pressures and the evils of the world get into me. But it's easier said than done.
Yeah. Especially if you consider that you're in the survival state.
Yeah.
It's going to be like, well, you know. And that don't necessarily mean that they changed their heart at the core. This is just, man, I got to do this because shit, you know, I'm just trying to make ends meet. It really turned a lot of people into that. And that's just generally how I look at the world in general. It's like, well, shit, like, you know, I can't fault people for doing certain shit. At the same time, I get it. You know, mm-hmm. There's consequences for every action. But I, you know, damn, that was fucked up. But I get it. Like, you know, shit would be just crazy out here. Like, especially over material shit, like. Somebody robbed me for my shit, I would be like, damn, that's fucked up. But, like, I get it, you know?
Yeah. Yep. They had a theory, bro, where they were saying that aliens are not real and they are demons. And they are trying to trick us into thinking that they're aliens because the devil is a liar. And so they're going to come here and say, yeah, we're here from a planet, a galaxy, a bunch of feet away, a million, 8 light years away. And, you know, try to get us to follow them or whatever. Don't that sound like some shit that they telling you? It's like, man, dog. You ever see a kid, like, parents get divorced, and then, like, both the parents is like, you want to live with me, don't you? I mean, think about it. And you'd be like, fuck, I don't know who to believe, man, because I fuck with both of them a little bit, but not all the time. I don't want to be stuck with either one of these motherfuckers all the time. Damn. You know what I'm saying? Like,
yeah.
It's just like, I just feel like in line with what we're talking about, the government, we're under so much control that to think about it is to almost go crazy. To think about how many layers of lies that we're under. It's like, fuck. Like, they got this new movie coming out in July about the fake moon landing. And it's like, they're trying to make light of it. But, nigga, y'all ain't been to no goddamn moon with them raggedy-ass VCRs y'all was flying around with. Like, no, y'all ain't been to no fam. Oh, we can't even go to the moon with these Cadillacs we building at NASA. But you niggas went to the moon in them old-ass Buicks with them old-ass Adidas on. Like, come on, dog. Like, they stupid. We not stupid as a society. We have way more questions than our grandparents did, which is why they got to come out with shit like this, mocking the whole thing. You don't think a movie like that is going to be detrimental to the memory and the legacy of the moon landing, if that's real? Like, you know how my kids will watch that and be like, yeah, they ain't laying on the moon. You ain't see the movie? And that's how they be. You be like, no, that was, you know, that's fake. You know what I'm saying? It's crazy. My daughter, I tried to scare her. I tell you this last week. I was trying to scare my daughter, and I turned on Lovecraft Country.
Yeah.
I told you about the cell phone?
You told me y'all were watching because I think you tried to go through a bunch of them, right?
Yeah.
And then she just was like,
she was just like, it's whack. It's creepy.
It's not scary.
Bro, she found, she's like, what year is it supposed to be? I'm like, it's 1968, whatever. She's like, then why that dude got an iPhone? Nigga.
Whoo. Hey, but you know, that's somebody's job to make sure that that don't
that's
pop
up. That's a continuity problem.
Yeah, that's a script supervisor.
Bro, I said, no, it's not. My wife was like, yes, it is. Look, nigga.
That's like the Starbucks cup in
Game of Thrones. That's like the Starbucks cup in Game of Thrones. Exactly. They had a fucking, they did an overdrawn. It was that like Emmett Till's funeral. And so they did like an over, because it was like supposed to be packed in the streets.
Yeah.
And they over, and I could tell it was probably like an extras holding area that they decided to get some, like, get some footage of to just to show how thick the air. Nigga, it was a nigga in that bitch like this.
Damn, man.
I'm like, oh.
And break that realism. My dad used to be really good at seeing that shit.
Dog. And it's like, she's 10.
Yeah. That's what, she got a good eye.
She got a good eye. She's like, this is, why did you got, I'm like, oh, man. I'm like, yo, that's ill. But then you think about shit like, what if that was supposed to be like a time traveler? Because remember, the show had time traveling in the show. And a lot of times they would catch people in these old, you know, like YouTubes and shit like that, where they would like catch them like on cell phones from right now, way back then. You see what I'm saying? Like, and so, I don't know. She said, this some Tubi shit. Yeah, she was like, man, turn this bullshit off. First of all, she's like, it's not scary. These little girls, these ugly-ass girls dancing around. I'm like, no, they supposed to be jigaboo slaves. She was like, man, come on, dog. And it hit me like, man, look at me trying to put this trauma into her, make her scared of some shit. Like, dog, she don't give a fuck about it, and she's not supposed to. You know what I'm saying? Like that shit, the buck got to stop, bro. Like, I'm not, my grandparents made me watch Roots, and the way my granddad was watching the shit, it was like, it was niggas he knew. He was watching that shit like AAU basketball. That nigga was watching Roots like, mm-hmm.
How was your, like, when were your granddad born?
My granddad was born in Mississippi in 1936.
Okay, so his grandma was.
His grandma was grandma, definitely. It's yeah. Like, and so, but this nigga, he was watching that shit like, shit. Man,
because that's some people's first like visual depiction of what it could have been like, even though it's an exaggeration. Yeah. Or, well, I ain't gonna say exaggeration. Was a lot worse, to be honest. To be honest, it probably was a lot worse in reality. I feel like slavery is a lot worse in reality than we've ever like can fathom it. Because what they'll tell it, like the point you like to make, what they will tell us is only the smaller part of what it actually was.
But can I say this though? Man, I don't want to get crucified for saying this. I think that slavery, and hear me out why I say this before y'all jump in the comments and go crazy. I think slavery might be worse on the movies than it was in real life, because in the movie, they had a small amount of time to show you the trauma of it, and that was it. They didn't show you. I don't see a lot of movies where they show the context between the, you know, slaves in love, and you know what I'm saying? Like, it don't be that, because they don't have time to show that, because it has to be traumatic to get the understanding of the times and what was going on. Not to mention the whole idea of trauma porn, that they show black people to subconsciously keep them in this mindset of not having heroic forefathers, if that makes sense to you. Like, stripping us of the heroic forefathers subconsciously makes us feel lost when you look at your white counterparts and it's like, they had Abraham Lincoln and George Washington and Thomas Jefferson. And it's like, who the slaves? We don't know their names. Whatever their name, Chicken George. It's like, that makes me feel as a young man like, so y'all ancestors was cowboys and doing dope ass shit and sheriffs and all that. And my niggas is over here eating chicken pinkies and chicken feet and fuck. It's like, nah, dog. So that makes me think that the truth of the times is somewhere in the middle of what's being told. I think that no work would have got done if they would have just beat the shit out these niggas every day like you see in the movies, but then no work would have got done if it was a nice place to be.
Yeah, I don't think anybody's saying there's not some kind of in between when
you
it feel
comes what I'm
to
saying?
Like there's going to be a variation of it. But what I'm saying is what we've seen is considered the worst. I'm saying there's
it's
so
probably
much
worse than what we've seen. Right.
Like when I saw that they were saying they were taking like the hair off the slaves and like putting them in chairs and shit and all that kind of stuff like that, or even George Washington like having their teeth and shit like
I just
that.
Said
just
that
like,
Eric D.
Like that's crazy. Like that put a different perspective on it just in general. Mm-hmm. Or even, I mean, not even that long ago, like with the Jim Crow shit, like they would literally throw tar on these people and burn them in the street. Like,
yeah, yeah. But like I said,
I know there's like, obviously there'd be some kind of joy there, obviously. And, you know, we are all products of the people who made it.
Right.
But, you know, there's like, we can imagine good. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
We can imagine good. The terror is the part that we can, like, we can picture it in our head, but I feel like what we can envision as a good side is something that is more believable or more manageable than the worst side of it, because we haven't gotten a chance to really see what the worst part of that is.
Yeah. Like, you know, like, Stockholm Syndrome is real. You know, there were a lot of slaves like Samuel L. Jackson and Django who fell into, instead of trying to fight the system, fell in love with the idea of the hopelessness of depending on somebody, which sounds crazy, but
it's not hard to believe.
Yeah, it's not hard to believe at all. And so, yeah, man.
Because it's almost like if they're making a system and I'm seeing these people get beat because they're not, you know, they just did something wrong. Well, I'm going to try to do the best I can do. And therefore, I'll be on their good side. And then in turn, you know, this will work out for me. I just don't want to get in trouble. So then you end up becoming one of those.
Right.
And it's not even something that you're aware of. It's just that you know that in my, like, that's how it changes your psyche. Like, shit. You know, like, as a kid, you get beat a lot. It's like, damn, my nigga, like, I don't want to get beat no more, my nigga. I'm going to just, you know, that don't work for everybody.
The idea of this new level of politics that we're experiencing right now in this last few hundred years is really eye-opening as it pertains to the psyche of what these slave owners were doing, because it wasn't just all violence like that. You know, they would do little mind games. Mm-hmm. Like, they would have a white dude come and say he's taking over the plantation. He don't like the way that they so-and-so been treating the slaves. And then the slaves like, oh, my God, yeah. And they work for him. Meanwhile, they've been working together the whole time. This is just mental shit. This is how politics work. So you look at how these white politicians lie and use all of these different methods to try to gain access into the black psyche and get the black trust. It's literally the same shit that they were doing.
Yeah, it sounds like
you look at it like that.
And they give you just a little by little, just enough to make you, like, you know, have a little glimmer of hope.
Yeah.
Because you don't have much to jump from in the first place.
Eric D, I didn't mean to, I meant to show that comment, but you hit it. But Eric D said it's still slaves on this earth to this day.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? They just found like this family, I believe it was in Georgia, I could be mistaken, but they had this white couple, old couple, sick, was adopting black kids and keeping them like slaves. Like, they had like 7 kids, ranging from like teenagers down to like 4. And they was like living in slave quarters, and like they just got locked up.
Yeah.
And the neighbors said they had been calling for years to the police and nobody did anything. Because of course, the politics, you know what I'm saying? It's like, you know, it's like lambs going to wolves for help. It's like, nigga, we don't give a fuck. We about to eat you too. You know what I'm saying?
It's the end of the game, bro.
Yeah.
That's like I see some people on Twitter talking about how they're like, and Hurricane Katrina was like white people going around killing folks just because nobody was already helping them in general.
What? Wait a minute. What you mean?
Like, white people just going around in the neighborhoods and like killing people. Police too. Just because they, like, nobody was coming to help them anyway. Because, you know, like, the way that shit happened, like, people weren't able to get out of their homes, or they were trying to be rescued or something like that. Instead of being rescued, they was just killing people. because they could. It was like a just open, like all out just being like, well, this is what's going to happen. On top of all of the bullshit that was already going on down there in general, where was New Orleans was completely neglected in general, just from a stand, like, not only are they a, like, New Orleans, a like a product of environmental, like, racism, the way the city's designed and shit like that. They completely neglected them when they knew the storm was coming. And then when it was time to give them aid, they gave them nothing.
Right.
And then everybody was forced to go live upon each other inside of a damn dome where they've watched their family die and, you know, all kinds of shit like that. And then there's people out in the streets that's going around just, you know, just killing people. And then there's no repercussions for this kind of shit. And then your whole family got to relocate to a different area so you can rebuild. And now New Orleans is not even a shell of itself anymore in most parts of the city.
So wait a minute. Damn, that's, and you know what's crazy? I didn't know that, bro, but that is so, it's so feasible.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like, of course, like, yeah, like, you know, that's like, God damn, who was I talking to the other day, man? Oh, one of my homies. He said he was, he's like, man, and I ain't got no disrespect or no racism or nothing like that, but he said, man, he started dating this white girl. She was a nurse.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, he was like, CP, dog, why she told me this, I don't know. But he said that she said that she has euthanized hundreds of patients. Like what? Like, yeah, sometimes people just be suffering. Or, and so I just go in there when nobody's, and I just can unplug them or, you know, clamp a cord. Like, what the fuck is going on? And it's like, you wonder why, as a black man, I advocate for AI so much. And it's because we have never had a fair shake at shit. And so the idea that another entity could come along, be above white people, and allocate services and care across the board to anybody, as opposed to who they like. Like, caught me sick, but it's like, I think that's one of the last hopes that we have as a fair, at a fair shake at shit as minorities in real life, is to have someone else governing the care, making our food without spitting in it, caring for us without overdosing us. You know what I'm saying? Picking us up, even though we a different race, and you driving the cab, like, dog, I'm not crazy. It's just that,
no, like I said, I like your optimism, but just like most other things that we have seen be a good idea, they are co-opted under the same system.
Right.
And that's the other part of it. Because it's like, yeah, well, who's programming this shit? Who has the money to put forth the programming in this stuff? We could tell all of our people in our community, hey, man, go learn the program and do all this other shit like that. That mm-hmm. don't mean they're going to get the job. That don't mean they're going to get the hands-on.
Right.
Like, that's just generally what it was. Like, my cousin Brendan was telling me a story how they went overseas and the hand-washing shit, literally, like, to wash his hands, like, automatic sensor shit, could not see his hands. He's like, I'm not making this shit up. But he literally put his hands under there and he kept moving it and it wouldn't turn on. But then when his friend did it and he's white, it worked. And that just is just a shit. It's like, that's a minor inconvenience for something that is on the scale. It's like, damn, the sensors they're not even programmed to see something that's that dark.
But everybody's hand on the inside is white. I feel like if he wanted to
did it. I mean, but not everybody's inside of their hand is, you know, to that degree. But the sensor is not about, it's not like a camera. It's not like our eyes.
Right.
It's more about, it's like the movement. So if it can't sense that there's movement, because it's probably using contrast. So let's use that as an example.
Yeah, of course.
So the contrast is like the background's dark and the hand is dark. I can't see that.
And the cover for the sensor is always dark. I forgot why that is, because the sensor is infrared.
It's more infrared, yeah.
Yeah, and so it needs that, you know, and that's, you know, that's crazy. I'm sorry to hear that about Brennan's little black ass hands. But no, man, like, I think like I had to really dig deep down and figure out what the fuck my problem with pushing this AI narrative is. And I think that's just that. I think that as a black man in this country, you know, especially with children, I'm constantly worried about us being treated in a way that's fair.
Yeah.
You know, especially with having kids, man, like, you know, me and my wife went to Disneyland one time with the kids, man, and we paid like $100 a plate to go to a breakfast, the character breakfast.
Mm-hmm.
And them motherfuckers would not.
They would pay attention to your kids.
Pay attention to our kids. And it was like, and I'm like, calm down. You know, my wife is a black woman. Like, these, yeah. I'll beat the shit out of Goofy. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? Like, you feel me? And it's like, nah, baby, like, just chill. But, like, goddamn, like, you know, and we had to go and be like, you know me, dog. I'm going to try to, you know, I'm not a woman, so I'm not finna be attitude-y with it. But I'm going to, for sure, be like, I'm like, hey, you know, I'm going to say some shit. Hey, excuse me, yeah, kids over here, too. I don't know if you saw them. Goofy-ass nigga. You know what I'm saying? Some shit. You know, make a joke out of it, but, like, but, like, yeah, bro, like, you know, I'm extra sensitive to that type of shit now because it's people in the world who are looking at me like, they may not say it, but it's like, damn, daddy, you going to take that for them? You going to, you know what I'm saying? It's like, man, it just, it irritates me, bro. I'd be ready to fucking go off about being, you know, because I got braids and shit, and you know what I'm saying? Because I walk and.
Man, I used to, in Atlanta, bro, I used to get profiled by the police every time I go to this area called a. You probably been there, called Atlantic Station. It's like a little shopping area outside.
I feel like I did my special at the underground at Lemon Comedy Theater. That's right there.
Well, Atlantic Station is a little bit like north.
No, not the one in Norcross. This one like
No, it's in northwest of Midtown. It's on 17th Street or whatever.
Okay.
Right before you get like into like right before you cross the city.
Is it like underground or some shit?
You park underground, but the shopping area is up top.
Okay.
You
was that in Atlanta?
Atlanta, yeah.
No. Like in the show Atlanta.
Yes.
Okay. Yeah.
So he was walking around, and they went into the AT&T.
Yeah.
That area. So
okay.
Like as they continued to develop it or whatever, they kind of wanted to phase like they were trying to phase like black people from coming in general. So I would go there, and I'm with my parents. I'm still a teenager. They would get on me for sagging my pants, and I wasn't even fucking sagging. It just looks like I'm sagging because the pocket was longer. I was like, hey man, you gotta pull your pants up. And I'm like, I'm not sagging. And my dad would go off on these niggas every time. He's like, I have a belt on and shit like that. But every time I just was like, I'm not coming back here.
Yeah, I'm gonna tell you something.
It's annoying as fuck.
I'm tell you something. I walked in. I'm from Detroit. Eric D, my special not out yet, bro. It's done, bro. But the politics around this shit, I'm learning. You know, they throwing me a lot of shit. You know, I'm doing a lot of things with a lot of people. My special gotta come out when it gotta come out based on what the game. This is how it is, bro. I can't really tell you more than what I can tell you. But I'm from Detroit, and I lived in Southfield. You know what I'm saying? And I was walking in Meyer on Telegraph and 12 Mile one day. And I'm walking, and this old white lady was like...
Meyer, the grocery store?
It's like a grocery... It's like a Walmart.
Okay,
I walked into Meyer, bro. This old white lady gonna say, pull your pants up. But she worked there. I turned around, I was like, hey, shut your ass up and stack them goddamn crackers. And my wife was like, please. I'm like, man, I'm like, yo, fuck these people. Like, I'm not the respect elder nigga, bro. I'm not, dog.
Facts.
I'm an only child, so I grew up around a bunch of adults. I didn't have no kitty ass friends. I was the dumbest little nigga to all these adults. So I had to take that shit for years. Why would you do that? Oh, I'm like, nigga, because y'all ain't kids. I don't know what the fuck going on. Now that I have zero patience, bro.
Yeah.
Zero patience for anybody who doesn't display the intelligence or the maturity that should be equivalent to their age.
It's just a respect thing. Like,
yeah, but I'm just saying, but you're not going to get it for free from me.
Nah,
yeah.
It's got to be given.
All
my
friends know, too. I'm the nigga who is going to be like, excuse me, sir, fuck you. You know what I'm saying? Like, I'm not the, oh, I'm sorry, old man, Uncle Ben. Like, nigga, hey, bro. With all due respect, we're adults and humans too. Get the fuck away from us telling us what you think. You know, pull up my pants. Like, dog, I will get butt naked in this bitch and walk around this motherfucker. Who the fuck are you talking to? Like, dog, I'm my own, you know. Okay, maybe butt naked is extreme, right? But it's like, I just.
It definitely bring out another side of you.
Because I'm from the mindset that when I made enough money to put myself into another tax bracket, that it's certain shit that you can't tell me no more. Like Kanye said, like, once I get my money right, I don't want to hear that because why do you want my pants up? Why do you want my pants up? Well, it's respectable. Why? It's respectable because, you know, for what? You're not going to be able to get a good job. Nigga, I have the best job. Okay, but you know,
it's not even a job setting, like
right. But it's like right. But it's like, well, you know, because respectable. Like, what's respectable? I have respect. Do people know who you are? Nobody knows who the fuck you are. You work at Meijer. You talk about respect. You work at, you're 88 years old working in Meijer. You worry about how I'm sad. Where the fuck is your grandkids at? What do they do? Why the fuck are you like, what gives you the right? This lady, I took my kids to Disneyland. We went to Disneyland like 6 weeks ago. We was there for 3 days. So we had to go to Walmart. You know, sometimes we go to Walmart. We go to Walmart.
Oh, yeah, y'all down over there in Anaheim and shit.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We in Walmart. A little lady walk up to us. Mind you, I'm with my children and my wife, bro. We are in Disneyland glee mode. We got ears on, shirts and shit.
Yeah.
This lady walk up to us out of everybody. Are you all ready for the eternal damnation of what comes with if you to which is hell if you don't understand that Jehovah is? I was like, hey, lady, hey, hold on, hey, get the fuck away from me and my kids talking about that bullshit. Like, what do you think? Why would you come up with? And she was like, I'm just trying
to spread the message.
Get your little fat ass away from us. It's like, bro, I don't have time to, because I'm gonna tell you some real shit. Old people will have you off deck because old people are scared of white people. They scared of like society. Like they have not their trauma. Although it is justified, they are terrified of looking a certain way mm-hmm. to white people, looking a certain. And it's like,
because that shit came with, you know, real
vast consequences for yeah. them. Right. But it's like, did you like that? What if I told you that it didn't have to be like that anymore? What if I told you I dunked one of these white motherfuckers? You know what I'm saying? Like, what if I told you that? Like, what if I told you that there are some new niggas who like, dog, like, I look at hillbillies how white people look at niggas. I'd be like, oh, my God.
Yeah.
Jesus Christ. I thought this was a good Walmart. Come on, honey. Let's get the fuck. Let's go to Target. They would never. You know what I'm saying? And it's like, intentionally, because I understand how they look at me and I'm intelligent enough to peep it in real time, understand that I don't deserve it, and use them as an example of what the fuck you don't do to somebody. Who, like, I'm going to put it right back in your face. You yeah. are not about to little man me in front of my kids and my family, even if they not there. The fact that they in the world, nigga, they could get wind of this. Nigga, I'll fuck you. You know yeah. what I'm saying? Like, once you become a daddy, nigga, it's like, man, I wish some motherfucker would, dog. Yeah. It's like, nigga.
It's just like, yeah. It's like a thing. Like, I get it. The older folks, I get, you know, because I've had my grandparents talk to me about that kind of stuff like that. Like, just growing up in more of like a, you know, when I was in Virginia, growing up in this urban neighborhoods and shit, and then dressing the way I do, and they were like, you need to have more. And I'm like, nah, like, mm-hmm. I don't want to do that.
Yeah.
And even then, like, when I was 23, I had just graduated college. It was me and my brother, and my grandma was in the hospital. We in there talking, and my aunt is older. She's born in, my aunt was born in 56, and my mom was born in 70. So they're talking, and they're like, you know, y'all need to get some more dress clothes because y'all need to blah, blah, blah. And I was like, look, I just went to school at an art school. I'm an artist,
mm-hmm.
and this is how I express myself.
Mm-hmm.
I went to school and I had to wear a uniform. I was like, I'm off that. And I was like, I'm gonna be doing some shit where I can wear whatever the hell I want.
Exactly.
And then I was like, and I'm gonna show y'all, and this is how I'm gonna pass it down to my cousins and everybody else. I'm gonna be the beacon of the person that does this kind of shit.
Exactly.
I got flack for piercing my nose when I came out here, and they blame one of my other cousins.
That part. I'm gonna tell you some real shit. First of all, like I said, bro, old people, and to be the people in your family too, because we don't realize how much of the bullshit is trauma that we would love to release but don't know how, and structural shit that is the way that this family operates.
Mm.
And that's two different things. Like, I had the best grades. I graduated like at the top of my class from Michigan State, the president of my frat, president of an African American student mentoring program. I was working with Eric Thomas and them. I did things in my undergraduate and before that in my eyes, buy you trust from the people who, you know, like, y'all sent me up to Michigan State. Y'all didn't know what the fuck I was gonna be. You know what I'm saying? Like, you know, old niggas be, hey, don't be around all them sissies. I'm like, niggas, First of all, Grandpa, I'm not gay. You think every nigga that's gay was gay? Like, all right, nigga. Wait.
That's like, a what? Crazy statement.
But you know what I'm saying? It's like they don't even. It's like the advice that I got when I decided to leave my corporate job and pursue comedy.
There probably was no advice.
Bro, it was like, what are you doing? And I'm like, wait a minute. I've done everything right.
It's that safety.
But it's like, what kid gets to do this then? Is it the kid that's fucked up? That been in and out of trouble his whole life? That's the one that y'all want to lock? Like, what kid? Like, when does your child earn your trust for real? Like, when do you realize that's like, dog, this motherfucker has succeeded in every level? Mm-hmm. It was like, man, I'll never forget. Like, one of my favorite aunts was like, you're delusional. I'm like, what? She's like, you think you about to make it? Like, you think so you're gonna be a comedian? Like,
you gotta have been the first one.
Oh, I was absolutely the first one. I was the first child. Maybe only child, but also I was the first nephew, grandson, like from all of them. You know what I'm saying? Like, I was going to college with them type shit. You know what I'm saying? I was the first. And so, yeah, nigga, that shit fucked me up, bro. Because
it's fear.
It's like, but it's fear, but it's also like, the crabs in a barrel is not because the crabs hate the crabs. They don't know what to do.
Yeah, they ain't never been out.
They like, oh shit, I'm just trying to, and it's like, you don't even realize, like, I used to look at them like, man, you know, I hope y'all understand that, number one, I don't give a fuck what you say at all, like, and I never have. You know what I'm saying? I'm looking at them like,
yeah,
right, okay. But also, like, if I was not as mentally strong as I am, there would be no CP. Like, this shit would not exist. And then you wouldn't even realize it'd be your fault.
Yeah.
Like, because you would never know it. Because
then you would have just fell in line.
I would have just fell in line.
Been normal.
And let them be sick of me and talking shit about me and always need a couple dollars. And I could have been all of that.
Yeah.
Right? But you think anybody, like, apologized and was like, man, you was right? No, it's just like, you know, you got some money, you got this. And it's just like, bro, honestly, this is the only, like, for me, like, my mom and dad are, like, the only ones in my, but I feel like they're the only people in the world who love me unconditionally. So, like, whatever it was going to be, they was going to fuck with it. Mm-hmm. But, like, this thing specifically, they both prepared me for it. Like, just flat out. Like, both of them just love comedy. So my dad would be like, you know, let's watch Eddie Murphy Raw. All right, it went off. Let's watch it again. And I'm like, hell yeah, I love this shit. This nigga cussing. I'm taking these jokes back to school. I'm going to tell these little kids ain't able to watch it. I'm like 8, 9. Then my mom is like, we go to Blockbuster. I'm renting a video game for my Nintendo or my Sega. And then I'm renting a special. Usually Tommy Davidson, Illin in Philly. Because it's Blockbuster. So you have to rent it again to see it again. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? It wasn't like DVR, you had a copy. Illin in Philly, you know what I'm saying? Like, George Carlin shit. Like it's just comedy. Killing Me Softly, Dave Chappelle. Some of Dave Chappelle's older sets that, like, I don't think niggas even know about. Like, where he had this joke about how white people came up with the word nigger. And it was, like, basically like a town hall meeting. And they were trying to find the perfect word. It was funny as hell, but, like, this is what I was allowed to take in. This is like how I was allowed to start developing the way that I think, is that I was watching this shit. And so, like, when I wanted to be it, my mom and dad was like, oh, hell yeah.
Yeah.
But the people around us was just like,
I don't know.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's like, dog, it's just, bro, you know, one of my favorite little cousins played football. It's my, like, he's really my brother, you know what I'm saying? Yeah. Like, and, like, I love this nigga, like, more than I love a lot of people in the world. You know what I'm saying? Like, I watched this nigga grow up. He's a hell of a football player. Like, all from, like, 5 years old, all through high school, played in college. And I took the nigga to his first football game. You know what I'm saying? His dad was out of town, so I ended up having to take him. It was an honor. I don't have no son, so it was dope to see a little nigga, like, getting ready. His name is BJ. So we shout out to my nigga, my cousin BJ. And he a noob too, but So I was playing that Lil Wayne, go DJ, but I was saying BJ. That nigga was hype as fuck in the car. Flag football, he ready to go kill a nigga. You know what I'm saying? And so watching my family believe that he could go to the NFL from 5 years old was all the proof that I needed to know that they could believe in something that they couldn't see. So then for them not to believe in me was like, it's personal.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
I can fully see that, yeah.
Like, oh no, this is personal. Somewhere down the line, I showed you something that you just feel like I'm not able to do this. And so I tell people all the time, like, you know, you don't know somebody's story, dog. You know what I'm saying? People are like, oh, CP, you're so humble. And it's like, bro, like, I don't really have no reason to get high on myself. Like, I don't come from a place where people are like, the people who count are like, you know what I'm saying? Like, that ain't what I had. I had to build from, like, I'm going to show y'all. You know what I'm saying? I had to build from that. So, like, when you had to build from that, you damn near have trauma. I don't even know when to stop. I don't even know when to win. It's a victory because it's like, they still don't see it. Yeah, you know what I'm saying?
Go again. Yeah.
And so I tell people, man, all the time, like, man, you don't need everybody. And the people who matter the most sometimes, who need the most help, you're not going to get that. Waiting for that is like, you're not going to get it. You know what I'm saying? Like, because nobody who loves you is going to tell you to do something so dangerous as to follow a dream. They're not going to put you, that's like telling you to be gay. You know what I'm saying? No disrespect to anybody who's homosexual, but that's like, imagine somebody telling you that, to somebody who loves you, not being worried about how much you're going to be ridiculed out in this world. Like, you can't blame them for not wanting you to do it because they don't love you, but wanting them to do it, wanting you to not do it because selfishly they like, man, what if somebody hurt you for you because you this? What if you end up homeless? And, you know what I'm saying? Like, that's how they was thinking. I get it. I don't have disdain for my family. But I think that, to your point, I have shown the people who come up after me in my family and in my wife's family, you know, me and my wife been together for 20 years. So her nieces and nephews are grown now, but they've been watching me. You know what I'm saying? They, like, I changed the trajectory for, like, a vast group of young people who came up after me. Like, yo, I could do anything. Uncle Chris did it. Uncle Chris said he didn't. You know what I'm saying? Like, you know, and I did go to college. So if you want to tell the kids to follow me, I did go. I got my degree. I did pledge. I did. But I also found time to be everything I wanted to be.
It's like, I played by your rules and then I figured out a way to go.
I played by your rules just so that y'all could not have shit to say. And then y'all still had some shit to say, which was amazing to me. I'm like, wow.
That's what it's like. Living your life trying to prove to somebody else will only make you feel less than every time.
Yeah, you can't get it like that.
But it's hard. I mean, I understand that's an easy thing to say if you're not already, that's not already instilled in you.
Yeah.
That level of confidence it has to be there from the foundation.
Yeah.
If your family not instilling that confidence in you, being an adult trying to rework that shit, man, anybody can attest to that.
But I tell people, though, if your family not instilling that confidence in you, it's not an excuse neither. Like, I hate that for you, and it's unfortunate, but you got to wake up every day and be like, dog, do I want this shit or do I want them to see me have this shit? Or do I want them to want me to have it? You know what I'm saying? It's like, bro, it ain't up to them.
Yeah.
It's up to you. Like, do I want them to, you know what I'm saying? Like, you know, so that's why, like, man, you know, like, I tell people, like, dog, your support system is out here. Like, I used to go home on Thanksgiving back in the day and be sitting around my family like, damn, like, y'all don't even know. I got fans. Like, these motherfuckers who, like, I'm their favorite comedian and I'm not y'all favorite comedian. And that's crazy to me. I just be like, damn, that's wild. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, and it's just like, you gotta, bro, I wanted it for me, man, not for nobody else. You know, so it's like, I don't know when to be proud of myself because I don't have that barometer from people who I want to be proud of me. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And so that's deep, bro. That's deep, man. I just be doing shit. Like, people are like, man, you not happy? And I'd be like, man, it's like, nigga, it's not a celebratory thing, bro. It's like, I was right and they was wrong and I don't feel good. Now, if they was right and I was wrong, that wouldn't feel good either. But it don't feel good to be like, told y'all. Now, it don't feel like I thought it would feel. Like, it's like, all right, I got more money than everybody. It's like, now what? Now, okay, now I feel like an asshole. You know what I'm saying? Now I'm like, oh, I'm flexing on motherfuckers I love, dog. This ain't even, you know. It's deep, bro. It's deep, man. Anyway, yeah, man. Sometimes it's conspiracies, bro. Sometimes we just in this biz holding court, man, chopping it up, bro. We need these conversations. For real, man. This is what the community is about, man. You know, but this has been another episode of CP Podcast. I'm your host, CP, man. I got a show finna start. I got to run out of here, man. But always the questions and never the answers, man. I want y'all to be the best y'all can be. I'm CP. That's Amir. We out this motherfucker.